I don't want to make her feel criticized. Like, you hear a lot of adults say that they were told that they were too much growing up. And the irony in that is that, she can still feel my anxiety and irritation. She does still feel rejected. And so, like, I do recognize that the way that it's happening is not working for either of us. I would imagine that even though her dad will get angry with her and critical with her, that's probably good because she knows how he's feeling. Whereas with me, I think she gets more confused.
Tell Me About Your Kids is a chance for you to listen in on unscripted conversations with connected parenting specialist Bonnie Harris. As she talks with real parents like you about real struggles like yours, these counseling sessions get to the heart of why our buttons get pushed as parents and offer tips and advice useful no matter your child's age. Listen in and subscribe to Let Go of Old Habits and raise your kids in a way that feels good. If you're having a parenting challenge and need help, visit BonnieHarris.com for free resources, schedule a session, or get a free one-on-one counseling session by becoming a podcast guest. We're all in it together. You're not alone. Thanks for listening.
Tell me about your kids.
Welcome back to Tell Me About Your Kids with your host, Bonnie Harris. I'm Adam Arnone, the producer, engineer, extraordinaire, all those things. Hey, Bonnie.
Hi, Adam.
I like that silence that happens just right before when you have no idea what I'm going to say.
Where you were going to go.
Sometimes when you start these podcasts, they can feel just, I don't know, monotonous. Like you're saying, like, what am I going to talk about? Uh-huh. So you got to keep it, a little
fresh.
Extra. You got to keep it fresh. You got to keep it moving. You got to keep it just interesting for yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. You talked to Ruthie today.
I did.
Ruthie has a 14-year-old and is going through the trauma revisiting that she has from her childhood, where she felt like she needed to really tamp down her energy, I think, and who she was, for fear of getting in trouble, for fear of. I mean, we don't know her specific home situation when Ruthie was younger, but it seems like she had to really shut down a part of herself.
Yes,
and so that has now carried on to her having a child who has been diagnosed with ADD, or was it ADHD? I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, ADHD. And also a very, very high energy.
Big energy.
Big energy, high sensitive, highly sensitive child.
Right.
Who I think she sees herself in her in a way.
Oh, clearly.
And there's that fear of the clash when the sensitivity comes out and how she's going to react. And so she goes back to the numbing that she learned very well how to do when she was a child. So it's very interesting to follow. These things happen to all of us. You know, we all learn how to protect certain parts of ourselves that we fear is not going to be accepted, that we fear is going to be put down and yelled at and punished, or definitely not accepted. And so in order to get the approval and the love that we all are after, we have to somehow alter ourselves in sometimes small ways, sometimes very big ways.
Bonnie, let's get into our affiliates.
Okay.
Did you know that we have affiliates?
No, I didn't.
Well, I have news for you, Bonnie.
Really?
Yeah.
We have affiliates.
We have two affiliates.
Oh.
Thrive Market and Earth Mama Organics.
Love those places.
Love those places. Yeah. Please go to the liner notes and check out links, and Thrive Market is an online grocery store. It's got everything except for probably blankets.
Right.
Maybe I've made that joke before. I don't think so.
We talk about clothes. They don't have clothes.
Okay.
I don't think you said anything about blankets.
Yeah, maybe.
But they have all kinds of frozen foods, seafood, meats. They have wine, and they have all, you know, your whole pharmacy department, your whole grocery department, all your pantry can be, it's all there.
They've got it all. So the next one is Earth Mama Organics, which also there's a link, and just go check it out.
It's a beautiful, beautiful website.
Just go cruise around.
Boy, they have some lovely, lovely products.
They do. And remember to use that link. When you use that link, it helps us too as a affiliate of those companies. Also, Bonnie, we have a ton of back episodes that I don't know sometimes if, you know, if you're in the app and you're just, say somebody just found us today mm-hmm. for the first time. It's hard to know how many episodes we actually have. And I think, I don't know exactly when this one's going to air, but we are in the 130s. Mm-hmm. So go back and check, re-listen to all the old stuff, because there's tons of helpful things. And, you know, check the titles, see if something applies to you. But there's a lot to go through and use it as a resource.
Absolutely.
For anything that you're going through.
And don't worry about the age of the kids, because my focus, yeah, there's a lot of how-to stuff, but my focus is always on the parent. And you're all parents, I'm assuming, listening to this show. And any one of them will apply in some way. Listening to all of them is like taking a parenting workshop for free.
Yeah, that's true. For free. Again, for free. I'm going to put some echo or something on that to make it sound like even, you know, more important.
Right.
Bonnie, lovely to talk to you. And all those listeners out there, enjoy this episode. And we'll talk to you next week. Here we go.
Many children unconsciously push their parents' buttons in order to break them down. When needed emotional support is not available, children find different ways to try to get it. Some go in an explosive direction to get a reaction. Some shut down and block out. When children don't get their fundamental needs met, their behavior shows it. Unfortunately, most of us have not been taught to read behavior as a signal to a need. When you do see it that way, the behavior itself becomes insignificant, and the internal emotional need can be addressed. Good morning, Ruthie. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
It's so nice to have you. So tell me about your kids.
Well, I just have one daughter. She's 14 years old. Her name's Olivia, and she has always been a really, like, little firecracker, very strong-willed, knows what she wants to do and goes for it, like, doesn't ask permission from anybody. She just is going to do what she wants to do. She's hilarious and super high energy. She was diagnosed with ADHD a couple years ago, and we haven't found any sort of, like, medications or anything that work. So she's always been kind of like at a 10 as far as her energy is concerned. So she's like tapping or singing or talking really fast or just kind of like always really heightened. Mm-hmm. And right around when she turned 12, she really took a hard left into puberty and teenager.
Yes, as often happens.
So I think a lot of hormones. We had some things happen in our family that were really hard. So it's kind of like a combination of things where, so now she's got all of that same energy and kind of being at a level 10 most of the time. But when she became a preteen and now she's 14, now there's all this emotion that's added to it. So when she's at a 10, a lot of times it's also emotion. Mm-hmm. And most of the time it's I'm referring to like hard emotions, not like joy or happiness, uh-huh. but more like frustration or sadness or, you know, and so at this point it can be like, you know, she'll walk past a mirror and decide that her forehead's too big and then have like a complete meltdown, you know, that lasts for hours where she's just inconsolable. And it just seems to be like really out of the blue. So we never know when it's coming. And then it can also look like when, you know, maybe she doesn't get her way about something, wants to go to a friend's house and I say no. She sort of uses this bulldozing is what it feels like to me to talk really fast and be, you know, give all the reasons of like her point of view. And for me, because even if I stay really calm and, you know, no, Olivia, you know, I hear that you really want to go to your friend's house. I hear that that's really important and you miss her, but my aunt's just still no. And, you know, I'll say, I'm not going to keep arguing about this. It's like, I have to say that 5 or 6 times for her to like actually stop arguing.
Mm-hmm. And that's different than it was before 12 or before last year or whatever.
I think as far as her, like, yeah, having an attitude and not taking no for an answer, that's definitely increased since she became a teenager. Okay. Mm-hmm. For me, what I'm experiencing is I consider myself to be a highly sensitive person. And so I'm already feeling overstimulated by the world most of the time. And so it's been hard really to kind of know how to cope since she was younger because, you know, she's very stimulating. She's making a lot of noise and she's requiring a lot of attention. And, you know, my introverted side just kind of wants to run and hide. And so I already feel like my nervous system is on high alert just to be around her. But then now that there's this added threat of her having like these big emotional outbursts, you know, like I am having like physical symptoms and even though I can stay calm and in the moment, you know, like I'll just in anticipation of seeing her, like I'll get a headache or, you know, my body will just start to feel really anxious. Even if I'm not thinking about her, just kind of like my body just remembers what it's like to be on high alert, I think, and then not knowing if she's going to take a dive.
As far as that nervous energy that you see, has she, as a little girl, as a toddler and little girl, was she always up and into things and doing stuff? And
oh, yeah, definitely. Like climbing on railings and jumping on things and, you know, just always really busy and kind of getting into whatever is around that she can find to get into.
Okay. And in comparing her to other kids you knew about, she just had a lot more intense.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. You know, I have friends with several kids, you know, and they would be around Olivia for, you know, the afternoon or, you know, we would hang out together and they'd say, oh, my gosh, she's like more than all three of mine combined.
Right.
You know, so I
more. Yes.
So I know it's something that other people experience. You know, she actually has had a hard time maintaining friendships even since she was little. So I suspect that that's partially due to she's just a lot to handle.
Mm-hmm. Is her father in the picture?
Yeah. So her dad and I have never been married, but she's always, since she was about 2, she spends half time at his house and half time at my house. And we do have 2 different, very different households that I think contributes.
When you say 2 very different households, you parent her differently. Discipline is different.
Yes.
Can you just describe that a little bit for me?
I'm more of a kind of laid back, let her do her thing. Not, I don't hover, you know, and kind of micromanage her. Whereas her dad, I would describe it as more of like kind of hovering and micromanaging and kind of making sure that she's, you know, doing whatever he wants her to be doing. Mm-hmm. But he's also doesn't mind the big energy. So like mm-hmm. she can be really rowdy. And, you know, when she was younger, she used to love to like wrestle and stuff like that. And so he doesn't mind that big energy so much, mm-hmm. whereas I'm really sensitive to it. So it feels like a lot for me. So I'm sure it feels, has always felt like really confusing for her to be at his house and where that all of that energy is okay. And then she comes to my house and I'm having a reaction to it.
Do you think she feels more accepted by him?
I wouldn't say so, because there's other relationship dynamics with him where he, I think, is really critical of her and kind of like on her all the time. So I don't think she feels accepted by him, actually.
Okay. In terms of discipline, that sort of thing, if she does something you or he doesn't want her to do, how do you handle it?
He will go in with a lot of lectures and, you know, talking a lot and just kind of telling her what she should be doing. Whereas I will kind of lay back and maybe try to have a conversation with her later, but I don't like give her a lot of advice or, you know, I try to listen to her feelings and kind of, you know, mm-hmm. take that approach rather than telling her what to do. I would say that neither one of us are super firm with her. Like he'll get angry and kind of like yell at her for something. Whereas I stay pretty even. I think I'm like having a lot of turmoil on the inside, but on the outside,
right.
On the outside, I'm not like yelling or getting angry, but I'm still feeling all the things on the inside.
Right.
So our reactions are very different, but as far as discipline, she's never had like a lot of punishments.
Okay. So neither of you tend to like take away her phone or take away her screen or ground her?
Yeah, we do take away her phone as a consequence for things. But
okay.
I'd say that we're both probably on the lenient side mm-hmm. as far as that's concerned.
Okay. All right. Let's talk a little about your own personal sensitivity, because I am also imagining, if you've listened to the podcast at all, you've heard me talk about Integrity Kids and Harmony Kids.
Okay.
And it sounds to me like she is more of, by nature, an integrity child, the way you describe her energy, her determination, her persistence, her mm-hmm. plowing ahead, her liking to argue about things, mm-hmm. which is all good stuff.
Right.
It's just often inconvenient for us, right?
Yeah. It'll be good someday.
Yeah, exactly. But we have to learn how to deal with this personality rather than to try to get her to change.
Mm-hmm.
So when that is, so an integrity child is also very, very sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so if we've got your sensitivity mixing with her sensitivity, I can imagine that can be volatile in mm-hmm. various ways. You say you tend to be laid back, but inside you're having a much more, how would you describe how you're feeling inside when you're?
It feels like my nervous system is just on high alert, and it mm-hmm. feels like I can't, my body does not feel calm. I appear to be calm on the outside, but inside I just do not feel calm and relaxed.
So have you done that intentionally? Have you gotten your external body to be calm intentionally when you know inside you're not?
I would say it's more of a trauma response of myself growing up and uh-huh. kind of learning to be acceptable on the outside. So it seems, it might appear to be virtuous, but it's actually more of a trauma response, I'd say.
Right. So what that means, I'm assuming, is that you had to learn what your parents did not want to experience with you because they didn't know how to deal with your energy.
Right.
Interesting. So I can promise you that even though you're calm on the outside, she knows that you're not on the inside.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yes. She's very intuitive. Like you were saying, she's very sensitive. She's very intuitive.
Right.
You know,
kids are.
I feel like sometimes, you know, it's like I want the credit for staying calm, but it still is affecting her and she still feels some form of rejection, I think for sure, because I kind of withdraw a little bit and sort of try to block her out mentally. You know, I'm not ignoring her, but...
Which is what you had to do when you were young, correct? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You had to back off and you had to block out in order to externally stay in a place where you were acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what is your fear if you did not put on that calm exterior?
I don't want to make her feel criticized. Like, you know, you hear a lot of adults say that they were told that they were too much growing up. And the irony in that is that, you know, she can still feel my anxiety and irritation. She does still feel rejected. And so, like, I do recognize that the way that it's happening is not working for either of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would imagine that even though her dad will get angry with her and critical with her, that's probably good because she knows how he's feeling. Whereas with me, I think she gets more confused.
Aha. Uh-huh. So tell me why you think she feels rejected by you.
She will, you know, ask me why I'm so quiet, and she'll ask, are you irritated? You know, she'll say things like that. Yeah, and I guess, have the intuition that she's feeling some rejection, or maybe I'm projecting it on her. I'm not, it's not entirely clear.
But she hasn't said certain things to you that are clearly feeling rejected.
She will accuse me of not caring if I don't have a reaction to her emotion.
Ah, okay. Okay. So that's a good clue because your exterior response, as you say, was learned to deal with what was coming at you when you were young.
Mm-hmm.
All children do whatever they can in order to get the acceptance and the love that they need, right? Whether it comes or not, you do what the only way you know how to do that. Your way was to calm your exterior, and you were able to then survive that and be accepted. So your body has learned that really, really well. And when you see her emotional reactions or her nervous energy, that signals kind of a danger zone for you.
Yeah.
Which then you have learned so well to automatically go, let's get another name for that calm exterior, because it's not calm. It's what word might you use to describe it? If I say numb, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, it does feel a little bit numb.
I can imagine, with the little I know about your childhood, that would be how you would respond when you're internally were feeling on that high alert and you would have to go numb. So if you go numb, I can understand that she might see that and think that you're not caring. You don't want to be a part of what's going on with her.
Mm-hmm.
Can you feel it in your body when your body does that shift into that numb state?
Mm-hmm. It does feel numb to me because in the moment, you know, I'll think back and think, well, I'm not feeling all the turmoil in the moment while it's happening. Like I actually often do feel the numbness, and then it comes, all of the emotion and upset kind of comes right after.
Aha. Yes. Yes. So what would have happened to you? This is just pure projection and assumption. When you were young, what do you imagine would have happened to you if you had not gone numb?
I like would have been punished, you know, spanked, criticized, shut out.
Okay. So very dangerous for for a young child, right? Not okay. Very scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very alone and isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What do you imagine might happen now if you, for instance, if Olivia looked in the mirror and had a meltdown because she thought her forehead was too big and got really, really upset? What do you think, and again, pure conjecture because you don't know, how would you react, do you think, if you did not go numb? What's your fear?
I think my fear is that if I were to have a strong reaction to her, that it wouldn't be helpful anyway. It would just be making it worse. Like then I would be getting upset. And then
but
I would
you're
be-
making an assumption about the strong reaction. So that's what I want to hear about. What do you imagine that strong reaction would be?
Just telling her that she's being ridiculous and that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But of course, you know, that she's kind of making this whole thing up to be upset about because she's beautiful. And, you know, it just feels like she's trying to get upset about something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to make an assumption.
Okay.
That your fear of how you would react to Olivia if you didn't go numb is very similar to how your parent would have reacted to you if you hadn't gone up. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Interesting, isn't it? It doesn't have to be that way.
Okay.
Olivia has not chosen to shut down and numb out to protect her sensitive feelings from criticism and abuse. She has gone in the other direction to be heard. What she does experience is the strong negative effect her behavior has on both her parents. Controlled emotional upset from her mother, criticism and impatience from her father. So she may feel unheard. Ruthie assumes that if she didn't block her own feelings, she would react in the same way her parents reacted to her. Her fear holds that numbness in place. Ever lose it with your kids and yell those words you swore you never would? You know what it feels like when your button gets pushed and nothing can rescue you. In a nanosecond, a certain look, a defiant behavior, you go from 0 to 60 and react in parenting road rage. Your rational brain goes offline and the emotional memories from your own childhood get triggered, unbeknownst to you. When Your Kids Push Your Buttons and What You Can Do About It is the book that will help you understand where your buttons come from, why your kids push them, and how you can diffuse them so you can choose to parent the way you intend and heal old wounds at the same time. Please check the liner notes to find links to Amazon for the paperback and Audible for the audiobook. That you used when you were young is no longer working for you, is no longer needed. That's the most important. it's no longer needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because Olivia is not your mother.
Mm-hmm.
You are not your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So my guess is, and again, this is just intuition, my guess is that Olivia is possibly a lot of her emotional reaction is to try to push through that numbness
mm-hmm.
in you and get you to connect with her.
Mm-hmm. I think that sounds right.
What you fear your reaction would be doesn't have to be that at all.
Mm-hmm.
You can just be there for her in her emotional upset.
Okay.
You don't have to tell her anything. If she's having an upset about her forehead, something that you, of course, is ridiculous,
mm-hmm.
but not to Olivia.
Mm-hmm.
All you need to know is this is important to Olivia for whatever reason you don't even need to dig into yet. You don't know whether she's somebody has made a comment to her at school. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't mm-hmm. need to right away. All you need to do is be able to support her in her emotion.
Can you give me an example of what that would look like?
Yes. So first tell me what she looks like when she's all upset about it.
So, you know, she comes into the living room. She's just found herself in the mirror and, you know, gotten really upset. And she's saying, you know, my forehead is too big and I look so ugly. And she's just kind of having this tantrum, sort of.
Is she crying or yelling or?
She's crying with her voice raised, not yelling,
mm-hmm.
But she's very amped up, very charged.
Right. Is she coming to you or just?
She's coming into the room where I am and standing right in front of me.
Aha. What if you could put your arms around her and let her cry on your shoulder if that were what she wanted to do? What might she do?
She might, it depends on her mood, she might let me do that and she might push me away. It really depends on what her mood is that day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what do you typically do when you go numb? When she's standing right there in front of you, what do you typically do?
Well, that depends on my mood. You know, sometimes uh-huh. I'll, you know, just try to validate her and, you know, that's really hard. And sometimes I'll just tell her that, you know, she's so pretty, which I know is not helpful. And sometimes I let her just talk, you know, and try to not get wrapped up in it with her.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. You don't need to get wrapped up in it with her.
Mm-hmm.
What she needs in that moment is for you to genuinely support her in those emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, validating her is absolutely part of that, mm-hmm. unless that validation is from a very separate place where you're just saying the words, I understand that this is really hard. I understand you're upset about this.
Mm-hmm.
But there's likely a but coming.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you want to rationalize with her. You want to reason with her. You want her to see that she's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This disconnected attempt at validation can feel patronizing to Olivia, but the emotional disconnect, even though the words are there, is what Olivia is trying to break through. Ruthie must trust herself to take that leap and allow her shell to crack to be in the moment and share her genuine self. There's plenty of time after that to problem solve. And that's where we, and I say we because we all do this. We want our kids to see it our way.
Mm-hmm.
What's really hard is for us to get out of ourselves and see it their way.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, I can understand that this is really hard for you right now, it's more putting your arms around her and just going into, ugh, this sucks, or that's just, you just don't want to be there. It's really hard to think that you don't look pretty.
Mm-hmm.
With a real genuine feeling behind it.
And that doesn't reinforce or, you know, validate that she, that I think that she has a big forehead.
That's the fear. You hit the nail on the head. That is the fear that we all have.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not saying, oh, it's so awful to not be pretty. You're not saying that,
mm-hmm.
right? You're saying, in so many words, you're saying, I get it. I know what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Which we all do. I understand. That's all. That's what you're saying. Ugh, I know. It just feels crappy when you think that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not saying that you are
mm-hmm.
not pretty, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, I get it. And that's what our children need from us all the time, to be gotten. To mm-hmm. feel that we truly get them, not intellectually understand something,
mm-hmm.
but really in our heart get them. And so that means taking the risk of letting down that numbness and opening your heart and
mm-hmm.
and just bringing her in. And it might, it's going to feel very unnatural at
mm-hmm.
first. And it's going to take some practice. But I think what I would encourage you to do
mm-hmm.
is sometime when the time feels right to have mm-hmm. a real heart-to-heart with Olivia. She's 14. She knows all this stuff. Plus, she's very intuitive. To really have a heart-to-heart with her about what you went through when you were young and how you learned to kind of harden that exterior
mm-hmm.
so that your vulnerable interior stayed protected,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be a wonderful mother-daughter conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the wonderful thing here, Ruthie, is that you have not lost this girl at all. At 14, if she were angry with you, if she were really felt that you didn't care,
mm-hmm.
you'd be seeing a lot more signs of her not. She's coming to you,
mm-hmm.
right? She's coming to you with her upset. She wants desperately for you to just get it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to. The thing you want to put away is taking her words literally.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I'm sure she thinks her forehead is too big in that moment, but it's so much more than her forehead.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much, the picture is so much bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be privy to that. You want her to be able to tell you where that's all coming from. But she's got to do it. She's not asking her questions and digging. But when she knows that you really get it, then I think she'll share that with you.
Okay.
And I think when you tell her about, you know, the history of that numb shell that you've had to develop and why, then you can tell her, when I see you really upset, the same thing automatically happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's tapping into those old memories of my parents being upset, and I'm afraid that I'm going to be toward you like they were toward me. Mm-hmm. And you can work it through with her. You know, if you share this with her, it sounds to me like she's the type of girl who will really understand this. Do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I do.
Yeah. And I think she'll feel so much closer to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm right, that she's getting more and more emotional in order to break through that. It's not a conscious thing she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very unconscious thing. But if she's doing that, it's indeed her way of pushing your button, right? And
right.
I believe that children push our buttons so that we will learn to break them down and diffuse them.
Mm-hmm.
No consciousness here at all. It just happens. And when that changes, then I think you're going to be able to connect with her. And then I think those huge emotional outbursts will take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to share with her what's happening, because I've tried to say before, you know, that my nervous system is, you know, jacked up, or, you
right.
know, like I've tried to share those things with her, but really explaining the whole story and the whole picture of where that started and how it's automatic for me, and, you know, that she might be experiencing what feels like I'm numb, whereas,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's actually that I have a lot of emotion and I'm getting flooded.
Right. And what she's getting from it is that you don't care.
Right.
Give that a try and see if it's, you know, I'm sure it's not going to be easy. Give yourself a break. Know that this has been learned over a long period of time. And
mm-hmm.
when you can do this for her, you're going to also heal yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. I hope this is going to be a big opening in your relationship.
Yeah, I hope so too. You did say one thing, and do you mind if I ask you a question?
Yeah.
About her being angry with me and things like that, because now she does get angry with me, like, pretty frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that because she's telling me that she's angry, that's a good sign?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. She's also an arguer,
mm-hmm.
and that's always a good thing. It may wear you down,
mm-hmm.
but there's actually been some research done on teenagers who argue with their parents, who are able to argue with their parents. Their perception is that their relationship is close.
Hmm.
The parents' perception of kids who are arguing with them all the time, their parents' perception is that their relationship is not close.
Okay.
So it's great if kids can argue with
okay.
you. So if she argues with you, if she tells you how angry she is, use that moment to just drop down into it and say, okay, I'm going to take a deep breath here, and you're really angry at me, and I really want to know why. I want
mm-hmm.
What do you need from me?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll think about whether I can do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just use it. Don't back away from it. Just stay okay. there. And
well, that's great news.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and telling me about Olivia.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your help and perspective, and I'll definitely use it.
Great. Maybe you can come back on the show and let us know how things go.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
All right, Ruthie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. I'm Bonnie Harris. If you're curious to learn more or would like to talk to me personally, check out my website, bonnieharris.com, where you can also find my books, When Your Kids Push Your Buttons and Confident Parents, Remarkable Kids. There are also links in the liner notes. And please subscribe to Tell Me About Your Kids on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Tell Me About Your Kids is produced and scored by Echo Finch.